The Nargon hissed, but obeyed, then watched with a suspicious sneer as R2-D2 rolled into the lead and started down the walkway. Although Luke was careful to avert his gaze, he kept one hand tucked into the front seam of his coveralls so he could reach his lightsaber quickly if the green hulk made a sudden move. But the Nargon seemed content to do as he was told, and Luke and Leia were soon following R2-D2 past the tail of the repair column. They quickly returned to the middle of the walkway, trying to put as many bodies between themselves and the guards as possible, and continued toward the Ormney's stern. They passed through another bulkhead, this time unsealed, and began to see the huge transfer tubes curving off to enter the durasteel spheres and ovoids of different varieties of flocculation tanks. After 50 meters, R2-D2 turned down an intersecting walkway that led past a series of assaying labs and production offices to a bank of turbo lifts. Most of the lift tube control panels had blue status lights, indicating they were ready for use. Their destination plates named decks such as crew quarters, maintenance, and infirmary. But two turbolifts at the end of the bank had amber status lights, denoting restricted access. The destination plate of one of these lifts listed half a dozen decks dedicated to the security hangars, training facilities, and guard quarters. R2-D2 went to the other restricted turbolift, where the destination plate contained a single line, administrative decks. The droid extended his interface arm and plugged it into the droid socket beneath the control panel. Almost instantly, a low rasping voice boomed behind them.
Where do you go?
Luke turned to see two Nargons striding toward them from the far end of the walkway. It was difficult to tell whether they were the same pair who had been with the Mandalorian at the sealed bulkhead, but both had empty holsters on their knees and E-18 blaster rifles cradled in their long arms.
There's no need to bother with us.
Luke spread his hands in a placating gesture, using the motion to hold the attention of the Nargons while he used the Force suggestion to deflect their suspicion.
We're injured and on our way to the infirmary.
The Nargons continued to approach.
The executive infirmary is not for crew,
said the second.
Real crew members know this. Who are you?
Demanded the other one.
Are you the crash survivors?
He pointed his blaster rifle in their direction.
Whoa, there's no need for threats.
Luke glanced over at Leia, then said,
I think we'd better show them our identification. I don't think we have a choice,
Leia replied.
You lost your identity badges,
the first Nargon objected.
You said.
Yes, we lost our badges, Luke said. But we have other identification.
This only seemed to make the Nargon more suspicious.
Other identification?
Credit chits, operator certifications, storeroom keycards, Luke said, naming a string of possibilities that he hoped would sound plausible. Stuff like that. Things only crew members would have,
Leia added. She turned to Luke and said,
Just make sure you show it clearly. These guys don't have very good eyesight.
Luke nodded, recalling what the Solos had told him about the fight in the Red Ronto Cantina. Nargons didn't go down easy. A soft chime sounded from the turbolift, and Luke glanced over to see that the status light had changed to ready blue. Now the second Nargon also pointed his blaster rifle at them.
Move away,